come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. There's a new meaning to the slogan, Mile High City. In January, Colorado made history and became the first U.S. state to allow the legal sale of marijuana for recreational use, beginning what many believe will be the next great rush for Colorado's economy. CNBC is airing a special titled Marijuana in America, Colorado Pot Rush, that will examine all sides of this groundbreaking new law. Joining me to discuss the opportunities and challenges of the legalized marijuana rollout in Colorado is veteran journalist Harry Smith. Harry is an NBC News correspondent who came to NBC News as a correspondent for Rock Center with Brian Williams in July of 2011. Prior to joining NBC, for 17 years, Harry hosted the CBS News morning programs, The Early Show, and its predecessor, CBS This Morning. Joining me from New York. Hi, Harry. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. What an interesting special that you did. You were on the front lines of history as you got to see the rollout and implementation of the first state with legalized marijuana for recreational use. And because you're doing this for CNBC, lots and lots of business angles to that. And that's where I'd like to start, if we could, please.
Sure.
You know, scores of businesses were setting up shop in Colorado. They're vying for the sale of the legal pot market that's there. Some people estimate that's going to be about a $10 billion business by 2018.
Yeah, that's what they said nationwide. What they're guessing right now is the marijuana business in the year to come, the physical year to come, is going to be about $1 billion a year, and that's in Colorado alone.
Wow.
And that may end up being low. It just, I think no one really understood how big a deal this is going to be. And, you know, they've started collecting taxes. There was a story just this week from Pueblo, Colorado, two little dispensaries. They're bringing in, you know, buckets full of cash to pay the taxes. It's quite a phenomenon.
Well, it is. It's a social phenomenon. It is a financial and fiscal phenomenon. I want to take a look, though, at the social experiment side of things first and foremost. I mean, this is the greatest social experiment since Prohibition in the 1930s. And it's only been implemented for a couple of months now. But from what you saw doing this special, with all eyes are on Colorado watching this intently, has the state done enough for a smooth rollout of legalized pot?
You know, I think the state has done about as good a job as they could in anticipation of this. And what the governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, says is, you're right, this is a giant social experiment. There's no roadmap, there's no blueprint for rolling out, you know, instantly legalizing yet another intoxicant. So they're trying to do the best job they can. Some of the concerns are, you know, what are the long-term costs of this? When alcohol was when Prohibition was lifted in 1933, the country said, well, we're in a social contract. Here's the deal. We know abuse comes with this. We know alcoholism comes with this. We know there's a certain, you know, criminality that goes with this in terms of aggressive behavior and whatnot. We don't know what any of those variables are in terms of adding this other intoxicant as a legal thing. So I think it's way too early to tell, but there's going to be some downside.
Without a doubt, Harry, but let's look at Prohibition as a model, because I don't think it's completely analogous. When Prohibition came into effect and then was repealed in 1933, we had an infrastructure there. There were breweries, there were distilleries, there was distribution. All of that was there. Colorado's starting this from ground zero.
Well, from that standpoint, there wasn't infrastructure in place already, because they have medical marijuana there, just like California. So you've got a lot of places, and what the state decided already within the last year or two is if you sell it, you've got to grow it. So that infrastructure was in place, you know, very much in place, but not to the extent that it was ready for the onslaught of new sales with the recreational sales.
Well, an onslaught is the word. But you mentioned that the sellers have to grow it, so they're in the agribusiness right now.
I mean, yeah.
All other agribusinesses, over time, the family farm gives way to large corporations. And I know you're no seer. You can't look into a crystal ball and give me any better guess than I can. But based on your research, what do you think is going to happen as this business matures over, say, the next decade?
Well, the guys with the business acumen are the ones who are going to be left standing. That's I know that for sure. It's interesting. Nationwide, people anticipate that these companies are going to be gobbled up by big tobacco. Some of the wisdom out there says it more likely it might even be big alcohol. Who knows who's going to come in and try and take over? Because Lord knows the market is there.
Without a doubt, as we're seeing in Colorado. My guest is Harry Smith. Harry, so let's get back to where we are today with the small entrepreneurs. They're jumping into this legalized marijuana market despite a plethora of rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do the entrepreneurs that you talk to see this market evolving?
Yeah, you talk to the guys who are in it, and yes, they have giant bureaucratic hoops they have to jump through to get in it. So you've got to have your stuff together. You can't smoke your way through this business process. So the guys who have their stuff together, I talked to a couple of them who have been in it for a couple of years now, and you ask them about, you know, how big an opportunity is it, and they look at you and they say it's like winning the lottery. that's how good the business opportunity is.
Well, what are some of those business opportunities? I mean, their show does a really good job of bringing them out, but I was shocked to see that pot-infused edibles account for 40% of the sales.
Who knew?
Exactly.
One of the businesses we profile is this place called Incredibles Edibles. And they make 40,000, basically, they're kind of pot bars a month, and they honestly cannot crank them out fast enough. And it's the fastest growing portion of the pot business is the ingestibles and basically what you would call non-smokables. They're e-cigarettes that are filled with little cartridges that have highly, highly refined hash oil in them. And so all of a sudden it takes that stinky, bongy part of the business, it's gone. For the fastest part is growing part of the business is the stuff that's edible and the non-smokes.
Well, there's a lot of controversy surrounding e-cigarettes. How do you think e-joints, for lack of a better term, is going to enter into the national debate about e-cigarettes and e-smoking?
It's storming through. The doors are being knocked down even as we speak. They can't make them. They honestly can't make this stuff fast enough.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, Colorado is also a tourist state. Skiing is their big thing. But I was surprised to learn that pot tourism is a big part of that. What exactly is pot tourism?
Well,
another
thing we show is people who came, you know, flew to Colorado for the weekend for the sole purpose of being able to, check out the cannabis stores. It really. And I think one of the other things that's happening is it's not only people. There will be a certain number of people who come there who just only want to do that, but the people who are going there otherwise for business trips and what have you. I just talked to one of my colleagues in the building. Her husband and his colleagues were in Vail for a conference. They skied a half a day. They went to meetings for half a day, and then they went down to Breckenridge and bought marijuana products.
How about that? My guest is Harry Smith, who has got a new special coming up, Marijuana in America, Colorado Pot Rush. Well, none of this is without its flaws or its challenges, Harry, as you point out in the documentary. And I always like to follow the money because that really tells you a lot about this. And here are some of the challenges, because the implementation of the new laws gets very interesting. Now,
right. There's
the federal and state. But
yeah, because the federal government, basically, they still look at marijuana as a Class 1 drug. So if you're a bank, there's no way you're going to do business with any of the marijuana businesses. So Eric Holder, their attorney general, came out and said, you know what, we got to make this work for you guys, because there's too much cash. Everybody's in this business walking around with these piles and piles, giant piles of cash. So he said, here's our new guidelines in this. Banks, go ahead. You can do business with the piles. And the banks go, you need to do better than that. We still don't feel safe that somebody in the federal government isn't going to come after us at some point. So that still has not been ironed out yet. So all of these businesses out there, these pot businesses, they're all doing their business in cash. And it's pretty crazy.
So meanwhile, while the state and the feds are pointing fingers at one another over these laws, how does a retailer do some simple things like deal with the cash, even something as simple as pay the bills?
Right. One guy we talked to has a guy who is a person who works for him 2 days a week, who does nothing but bring huge piles of cash into a Western Union office so it can be converted into money orders so they can pay their electric bills.
That's incredible. Now, you talked earlier about the trade-offs that we're facing as a society when we make this kind of a decision. But from a law enforcement standpoint, isn't there a trade-off here between these cash businesses, which become targets for robbery, and the expenses of enforcing the drug laws that they are no longer having to enforce? How does that balance out?
And as a result, then you have a lot of towns in Colorado, about a third or so, that have said, we opt out, because it's not universal. Each municipality can decide on its own how it wants to respond to this law. So you have big towns like Greeley, for instance, that have just said, look, we're going to stay on the sidelines. Here are our concerns, some of the ones that we just talked about. We'd rather see how this plays out for the next year or two. And if we're right, then we're going to stay on the sidelines. If we're wrong, maybe we'll change our minds.
I'm speaking to Harry Smith. He's got a new documentary, Marijuana in America. And Harry, we haven't touched on the classic argument that everybody holds up, and that's the slippery slope argument. Many people say that, especially addiction specialists, believe that marijuana is a gateway drug to stronger and illicit drugs. Others believe it's no worse than alcohol. The experts that you talk to, where do they fall on this issue?
They're concerned about marijuana being legal and what that message sends to especially younger consumers. Because if you're a teenager and you live in a state like Colorado where the drug is in fact legal, you're going to say, okay, so this is legal. Well, so is alcohol legal and you can't use it until 21, but have you been to a high school party?
Yeah, we're naive to think otherwise.
Exactly. And so especially the drug experts, they are very concerned about the idea of kids using marijuana at a young age and the effect on the brain. So, and they basically assume that the addiction rate will be similar to something like alcohol, might be 1 in 10. How it manifests itself, it's a very different drug, and how it interacts with the brain is a lot different from alcohol. And the pro-marijuana people will say, you know, when guys get drunk on the weekend, that's when the domestic disturbance calls go up. But if the guy's sitting there smoking weed, he's not going to beat up his wife. I mean, that's what the pro-marijuana folks say.
And that's an argument that's put forward. But where do the police fit into all of this? How do they feel about it, and how have they prepared for the rollout?
Well, you know, as I say, they're looking at this. One of their biggest concerns is driving while high. And how do you you can make some observations about it, but then how do you test for it?
Right,
are they going to start having to give blood tests to people they think may be driving high? It gets complicated.
Well, it gets complicated. It also gets complicated post-arrest. If somebody is high and hits somebody else and there's a manslaughter charge or something like that, how's that going to go through the court system? Is that
yeah, exactly. You know, who's to say?
No one knows for sure.
As Hickenlooper says over and over again, this is a social experiment. And as I say in the documentary, Colorado's the petri dish on which everybody else is, you know, trying to see how this turns out.
That is great. My guest is Harry Smith, whose new special is Marijuana in America, Colorado Pot Rush. Harry, how do you think the reaction to your special is going to be? Is it going to be split along generational lines with baby boomers reacting one way and millennials reacting another?
You know, that's as we see the last Gallup poll had 58% of Americans think marijuana ought to be legalized, and that really breaks down demographically. The younger you are, the more likely you are to think it's a good idea. What's interesting to me is just observationally, anecdotally, is as we see older people being introduced to marijuana, some of them are saying, where's this been all my life? So there are going to be plenty of people with their heels stuck in saying, you know, no way, no how, not in my house. And there are others who are going to say, you know, maybe this is better than a six-pack of beer.
Give us the 411 on your special. When is it going to air? What can we expect to see?
It's on CNBC, and it'll air tonight at 10 o'clock is the first airing, and then it's going to air a bunch of times thereafter.
Oh, that is great. One last question, Harry, before I let you go, and I'm going to ask you to speculate. You're looking into that big crystal ball. Which is going to be bigger in the western United States? Is it going to be shale, oil, and gas in North Dakota, or legalized marijuana for recreation?
Well, shale, oil, and gas is the way... That one's already done, and that's billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. Yeah. And it's not just North Dakota; it's all over Oklahoma, it's all over Texas, it's all over the Western United States now. And that's it's been a big game changer in the economy. I mean, I'm not sure marijuana is quite as big as that.
There you go. My guest has been Harry Smith. Harry, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest on the Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, Bill. Take care.